AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com. Beyond the junkyard echoes roar, shattered dreams and bloodstains pour, grit and glory all from war.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. It's Solo Saturday. And we are here. We are live on this recorded episode of the Beyond the Junkyard. And we got some big, big topics that we are going to talk about today. I'll set it up in the intro. WWE has made the decision to ghost the city of New Orleans and take the money bag in Las Vegas. Will the fans support that decision, or will this decision cost them? Secondly, we're going to talk about Josh Alexander. He talks about why he came to AEW and why I think that conversation expounded upon AEW's greatest recruiting tool. We'll talk about that later on in the show. We'll also talk about WWE outpricing their market, and it bit them in the ass this week as they had to cancel NXT in Tampa, Florida this coming Tuesday. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show as well, but we're going to start this show by reading some comments from the Discord, Real Wrestling Community Discord comment section. I want this Saturday show to be the show for the people in the community of the Real Wrestling Community. So if you want to join the community and give us some hot takes, or give us some comments, or give us some things to talk about each Saturday episode, be sure to join the Discord, the Real Wrestling Community Discord page. You can find that information at the junkyardmediagroup.com. That's junkyardmediagroup.com. Hit the Discord logo. There is an invite link there on that website. Or you can reach out to me on social media, on X at IBJYJ. If the app ever works — it seems like every day something new is broken on that app — but if it works, you can reach out and I can send a invite link personally to you, if that way is easier for you. Top right hand corner of the screen are four things I need everybody watching this video to do. I need you to hit that thumbs up button and give us a like. Help support this algorithm, getting us into the mix there and letting other people see this content. Comment, leave a comment, let us know what you agree with, what you don't agree with the show. If you think we said something good, if we said something bad, or just if you want to stop by and say hello, that is fine as well. I always have in the scrolling ticker, if you're watching this show, leave the comment, sickos, in the comment section, and let us know that you're watching. But you can comment it, whatever else you would care to do. So I also need you to share this video with all of your pro wrestling fans and maybe friends and family, and maybe even those that don't like wrestling but might want to listen to someone like me rant about a sport and a form of entertainment that I enjoy and am passionate about. But the most important one is subscribing to the channel and hitting that notification bell every time we upload a video. If you're that notification bell is checked, you will get a notification letting you know that we have recorded or we go live. We go live every Thursday. But let's jump into this comment section real quick first while I'm pulling it up. Big thank you to our affiliate partners, W Energy, WWE Shop, and StubHub. All links are in the description to help support the podcast, and we appreciate them for being affiliated with the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. Let's get into reading some hot takes that we want to read this week. We are going to answer a comment. It's more of a which is better type comment from Kara in the community. She gives me a few topics, and I'm going to say which is better, which is worse. So Kara, don't kill me if you say if I disagree with you on this, but let me read the comment. She says, waffles are better than pancakes. Sammy Guevara is better than Sami Zayn. Dr. Pepper is the best soda on the planet. And Joe Montana is still the greatest quarterback of all time over Tom Brady. Let me break down those four pieces of information. I, to be completely honest, am not a breakfast guy. Pancakes are great. Waffles are great. I'm not a breakfast guy, so I don't like. I like both. I don't have a super preference, but if I had to choose between waffles and pancakes, I'm probably choosing pancakes, honestly, just because I don't know. I enjoy them better than waffles. I don't really have a reason. Again, I'm not really a breakfast guy, but if I had to choose, it would probably be pancakes. I agree with you, though. Sammy Guevara is better than Sami Zayn. I like Sami Zayn, but I don't know. He's just like a freaking Karen now. I don't like where they're leading with his presentation. He just bounces around from story to story, and there's no concrete evidence of like what he's supposed to be. But yeah, Sammy Guevara, I enjoy him very well, though. Sammy Guevara is going to lose this weekend, at Double or Nothing. Dr. Pepper versus all other soda is better than all other sodas on the planet. I'd have to disagree with that one. I think my favorite soda currently is the orange cream Coke Zero would be my favorite soda right now, and it has to be the Coke Zero Sugar, because that's it tastes just like Coke, but zero sugar, less calories, less all of that. So I like Dr. Pepper. If we were to go by the actual numbers that were released, the Coke is number one, Dr. Pepper number two, Sprite number three, Pepsi number four. And so Coca-Cola, I think, is still the best soda in terms of branding. And then Joe Montana is still the GOAT over Tom Brady. Maybe for now. I think this might be a hot take. If Josh Allen can get himself a couple Super Bowls, you might have to say Josh Allen is better than Joe Montana and Tom Brady. Patrick Mahomes has to be in that fight. I think this conversation over who is the GOAT is a subjective thing, kind of like what type of wrestling you like, if you're a casual fan or not. Joe Montana was a great quarterback, but I think in the GOAT conversation, I'd probably still put Tom Brady ahead of Joe Montana, just simply because Tom Brady was the reason the Patriots were so successful. Everybody wants to give Bill Belichick credit. Look at Bill Belichick before Tom Brady at the Browns and the Jets. Look at him after Tom Brady with the Patriots. Tom Brady went on to be super successful in Tampa, but the Patriots kind of sucked for a few years following his departure. Like he got lucky that he got probably the greatest quarterback of this generation. Now, Joe Montana played in a different era, so you could probably say he's up there, but I'd still go Tom Brady. But watch out, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and maybe even Joe Burrow want to have a conversation in the next 10 or 15 years on maybe they can be in the GOAT conversation. All right, but let's get to some pro wrestling content now. WrestleMania back in February was announced to be taking place in New Orleans, Louisiana. I was there just a couple weeks prior to this announcement. I was there, and they announced, WrestleMania is going to New Orleans, and it came out just this week that, well, no, it's not. WWE has pulled WrestleMania from New Orleans and are bringing it back, supposedly, to Las Vegas, Nevada. And, well, let's just be real. This is a PR nightmare for WWE. This is not a good thing to do. This is just, I don't understand why announce the show if you weren't planning on actually following through with your commitment. If you felt like New Orleans was the spot, then it should have been the spot. And if you had a doubt that, if you had any doubts of New Orleans being the spot, or if you wanted to bring it back to Vegas, you should have at least announced WrestleMania 42's location after WrestleMania 41 was over. If this was always an option, and this is why I don't think it was always an option, I think this is just a quick chance at them getting a money grab. This wasn't like, Las Vegas was a contingency plan, and we wanted to see how WrestleMania 41 did before we committed, and it did really well, and so we swapped. This seems like just like out of nowhere, Vegas is offering them a number that they cannot refuse. And so they had to go back to New Orleans and say, we'll give you a future WrestleMania, and we'll give you the next year's Money in the Bank 2026, and we're going to push Money in the Bank to after SummerSlam to appease you and give you this Money in the Bank. This is a nightmare. This I don't understand why WWE thinks this is a good thing. Here's the first reason why I think this could fail. WrestleMania 41 had a very ass card. It was probably one of the worst WrestleManias I watched, and it was in Vegas. And the reason that it was so bad was they had to fit John Cena into this piece, right? They had to fit John Cena in there, and he had to beat Cody. And the storylines weren't really great. And it was a very terrible card with very terrible build. And they overcharged for what you got. You paid a shit ton of money to go to Vegas and to watch WrestleMania. And so here's the concern for me. Will the fans, as the product has left after WrestleMania, the product hasn't gotten better. The creativity has gotten stale. And WWE seemingly has cashed in on putting on any decent wrestling show and is just interested in getting the most money out of their show. This is why I said in my WrestleMania recap video that WrestleMania is no longer the showcase of the immortals. It's the showcase of the investors. And what's the better place to show off your investors? Vegas or New Orleans, where you can show off your investors. Like, New Orleans is a great party city. It's a great place to, you know, to host a WrestleMania. They had really good moments in WrestleMania history. and New Orleans WrestleMania 30 when Bryan Danielson or Daniel Bryan won the belt. I think that was also the WrestleMania that the Undertaker streak was over. 34, Ronda Rousey debuted at WrestleMania in New Orleans. And it's like, why can't we go back there? Why can't we go back to New Orleans? Why are we going back to Vegas for the second year in a row? Well, it's a cash grab. Nevada's offering like $4 million in tax incentives to do the show. They're banking that they're going to have another large gate because they had the largest gate in WrestleMania history this year. But the reason they had the largest gate was because they're charging astronomical prices. And I don't foresee the economy getting much better. And I don't foresee WWE's product becoming any better for them to be able to justifiably charge the same prices that they charged at WrestleMania this year and have the fans not have some sort of revolt. It is absolutely astronomical, the amount of pricing, how pricey WrestleMania tickets were this year. And so they're going to put all their chips, per se, in this bag that the fans won't revolt. The fans will continue to go to WrestleMania. But my belief is, and my take on this is, if the card is bad, you might not have a sellout at WrestleMania. Because the lore and the thing of WrestleMania has been for so long now that it went from one city to a different city, and that you could take that week in vacation and watch wrestling all weekend, and you can visit different places throughout the United States and possibly in the future throughout the world, and you can go from one city to the next and sightsee, and so there was a whole lore behind like making this trip from to a different place every year, and now they've gone ahead and changed it. And this is bad news for some of the conventions that were already starting to plan for WrestleMania weekend. And this kind of might be like a way for WWE wants to own WrestleMania weekend. They don't like that, you know, WrestleCon and all of these other productions have shows in the city that they're in. And so part of me thinks they gave this New Orleans thing with the full expectation that Vegas was going to do great and that they would, that Vegas would eventually re-up an offer for next year, and that they can get what's happening to actually happen, which is like WrestleCon had already booked arenas in New Orleans for WrestleMania weekend next year. And now they're scrambling to figure out where can they fit these events in Vegas? Can they even back out of New Orleans? Because, and so what's the possibility WrestleCon isn't in Vegas next year because WWE made this move at a very unfortunate time for them, because they're trying to monopolize the weekend. So, that's the point. Like, a lot of fans go out and they watch all of this other wrestling, but WWE wants Vegas to be their place and their time for that weekend. And this is what I think they're starting to do, is they can't tell WrestleCon not to go there. Like, WrestleCon, if they, you know, get a the ability to find an arena or a place large enough to host their convention WrestleMania weekend, WWE has no right to tell them that they can't host that convention there that weekend. But WWE can make it difficult for them. And this is kind of what they did, because now they're going to have to back out of New Orleans, figure out all of that logistical stuff, and then now find the logistical piece to find venues within the time frame that WrestleMania is going to take place to in Vegas, which is now difficult because I'm sure Vegas is already planning for next year, and then all of these venues are planning for big events next year. WrestleMania was supposed to be the 11th and 12th in New Orleans. Now it's going to be the 18th and 19th, because the 11th and 12th there were there was a concert already scheduled at Allegiant Stadium. So now WWE is moving WrestleMania back. This is just a logistical nightmare on all pieces. And I don't know if the WWE fans are going to sit by and watch WWE just try and make more money off of them. WWE doesn't care about you, the fan. They care about your money. And so how do you stop WWE from doing this stuff? How do you stop WWE from doing this? Well, you stop watching the product. You stop buying tickets to the show. You start demanding that they respect you as a fan. You start hurting their business, because if they start losing money on these events, they'll have to change their direction. WWE feels like they have a free pass to do this because they're making a lot of money. So if we start not giving them our money, then they may start having to listen to their fan base. But what do you guys think? We're going to transition into the next topic. The move to Vegas. Like, it makes sense. Allegiant Stadium fits 65,000 fans. They can probably get 124,000 people through the two-day weekend, whereas the Superdome, you probably wouldn't get as many people. You don't get the tax breaks. Like, it makes sense from a WWE perspective. They're taking a risk, though, by putting it in the same city and thinking that the fans are going to pay those astronomical prices. Because if the fans don't, then this is a waste of time. WWE is going to look like bad. Like, if they have a half-empty stadium, imagine. Like, the reality is people are going to go. I think WWE knows that. It's WrestleMania. In 6 months from now, when tickets become available, people aren't going to really still be that upset that New Orleans left. But, you know, they left New Orleans and they kind of screwed over the city and they screwed over WrestleCon and they screwed over all of this stuff. 6 months from now, when tickets, you know, ticket packages become available, they're still going to buy. But on the off chance that fans say, I went to WrestleMania last year in Vegas, why would I go again? Why would I spend $80,000 again to go back to Vegas? When I saw what they gave us last year, they gave us an ass card with ass storytelling, and there's a good chance that they're going to do it again. But let's move on. We're going to talk about an AEW story here real quick. Josh Alexander had a interview with Shaquille Maggiore here recently. And it was discussed that why Josh Alexander joined AEW over staying in TNA or going to WWE. So Josh Alexander basically said that it was because of Tony Khan, and that Tony Khan seems like a guy who respects his employees, that takes care of his employees, that really cares about their employees. Josh Alexander said he felt like AEW was a place where you're valued as an asset and not just really another cog in the system, which is WWE. He goes on to actually say that NXT had offered him, WWE offered him a contract to join NXT at Stand and Deliver, and he would get a title opportunity. And he turned that down simply because he wanted to fit in a place where it feels like the boss cares about his employees, cares about their families, cares about their wants and their needs. This is what Josh Alexander had to say with Shaquille Majori. This is from Fightful.com's article. This is what they read. I read all the criticism and all the speculation on why I made my choice and stuff from the second I met Tony Khan during the COVID era and TNA. I got this impression that as a boss, he's somebody that actually cares for his employees. You're not just a number. You're not just an asset to the company. He actually cares about you. He continues by saying, that's something that means a great deal to me. And working for Scott D'Amore and TNA, I developed a relationship with him, and there's a lot of trust that goes into this stuff. So I wasn't comfortable working somewhere where I would be just an asset, something that you could just toss away in an instant and stuff like that. He could then continues by saying, I wanted somebody that was going to care about me and care about the fact that I have a family that I'm feeding and that I do have such a passion for this. And I hope we share that passion and stuff like that. It's that this locker room is full of people that I've known and worked with over the past 20 years and I've developed relationships with. And it's because there's people like Edge, Chris Jericho, Kenny Omega in this company that I've never wrestled, that I've dreamed of wrestling for decades. So that all made it very easy for me to make my decision. He turned down an opportunity to compete in a championship match at NXT Stand and Deliver. And so here's the thing. Josh Alexander is saying, I chose AEW not necessarily because they were going to necessarily book me better, or it may not even have been that they gave him more money. In fact, NXT was willing to give him a championship shot very early into his tenure, like they do with all people that they bring in that either worked for AEW or are trying to be signed by AEW. They tout championship gold in their face. But he turned it down simply for one thing. And I think this thing is the thing that can be the competitive advantage for AEW. And that is their culture. Their culture matters from the top at Tony Khan all the way down. It seems like they finally have fixed the culture, which is why CM Punk didn't fit in AEW, because he was a culture killer. He was a disease on the culture to AEW, which is why I'm happy he is longing far away from AEW and will not be coming back to AEW in the near future, hopefully. Culture killers have been proven to be terrible pieces in AEW because they care so much about culture. Where WWE, again, just sees you as a cog in the machine. You're here to do this at this time and saying this. And it's just part of a robotic system to produce the bland content that WWE puts out. AEW has culture. They allow their people to kind of have some creative freedom in what they say in their scripts. While generally Tony Khan has to approve kind of the general consensus of the promo, what you say out in the ring, you're free to have some creative freedom in the ring with what you're going to say. That's not allowed in WWE. And so this is the creative advantage. You see Swerve Strickland blossoming in this system where he has this creative freedom. You see multiple people praise Tony Khan about the time that they're able to take time off to see their family, that Tony Khan is allowing people like Will Ospreay to fly back home every weekend after all their obligations are met, fly back to England, and that they really care about people. You saw when Maven went to AEW and presented his video that he talked to Tony Khan about how the back room, the locker room, the backstage area seemed like a family, and that the culture was great, and that Tony Khan truly cares about his people. That is what Tony Khan can present when you have people that are maybe having a bidding war between AEW and WWE. What is your competitive advantage? We will actually care about you. We won't, you know, just fire you for no reason because we're trying to, quote unquote, save money. We will give you the freedom to say yes or no to storylines and to put your creative input into storylines. Whereas in WWE, you have very little of that, unless you're like a John Cena or someone that has been there for some time. That is the competitive advantage to AEW, is they have a great culture. And now I know some people are going to say, well, a great culture doesn't mean you're going to put on a great show into that. I say, yeah, you're probably right. But if you present a great culture and you can attract the best free agents, you're going to have a good group of people on your roster that is going to be able to tell and perform great stories and great matches. And so this is what Tony Khan is doing right now. He's winning people like Mina Shirakawa. He's winning people like Josh Alexander. There's rumblings that he's probably going to get Cedric Alexander in the near future. Dakota Kai, things, you know, people like that who are really good wrestlers that just got taken advantage of by a system that really didn't give a shit about them. And there really isn't a workplace culture. You listen to every time a WWE wrestler gets cut and they're allowed to start talking on interviews about like their release and all of that. It sounds like there's no culture there. It sounds like it's just cold hearted. You know, it's for the business and we're going to do what's best for business. And you're fired and we don't give a shit about you. Mickie James, I think at one point several years ago, said that her stuff was sent to her in like a trash bag or something like that. Like, WWE doesn't care. You're a cog in the system. And when you no longer can produce efficiently the output that they want you to put out, You're just gone. You're roadkill to them, and they're going to leave you on the side of the road. Tony Khan won't do that. And that's what we've seen time in and time again. The culture of AEW means more to some people than the ability to say you're a WWE superstar. And I think that's the greatest competitive advantage that AEW has, is that they are able to say, we have a great culture. We give you this freedom and flexibility. If you want to take some time off and you know, spend time with your family, we will work around that within the paradigm of, let's get this story done. Let's use you for time on TV. And then when the time's appropriate, we'll give you time off. And then that can build for your return to be even better. We're going to end the show with one final story going back to WWE, and I'm going to give this take. This weekend, WWE has oversaturated the Tampa, Florida market. Tonight, Saturday night, we have Saturday night's main event from the Yuengling Center, I believe. I think Tampa, Florida hosted SmackDown last night. We have a pay-per-view tomorrow night in Tampa for NXT. And then there were supposed to be NXT hailing from Tampa, Florida on Tuesday, but that show was canceled for a variety of reasons. The most being they didn't sell a whole lot of tickets. Why? Because they are overpriced. I think people were saying they were charging $200 for an NXT show, and that is absolutely astronomically expensive to watch development wrestling. Even though it's some of the really, the best wrestlers on the roster, a WWE roster, maybe on NXT, it's still developmental. And that's that's a high price to pay to watch, especially if you were in the area and you went to SmackDown and you're going to Saturday night's main event and you're going to Battleground tomorrow night. And now they want you to put out another $200 to go to an NXT show. They're oversaturating the market, and they did this because they want it to go up against Double or Nothing. Let's just be honest. They're trying to go head to head against AEW to try and ruin the pay-per-view for Double or Nothing, and they've oversaturated the weekend with really high ticket prices. And people said, I'm just not going to go to NXT. So they're bringing it back, assuming they're bringing it back to the Performance Center, where there's a more intimate vibe. But this is the issue with WWE, is they're trying too hard to go head-to-head and compete with AEW, that they're going to oversaturate their audience. And if they don't lower the gosh darn ticket prices, we're going to see more shows get canceled and move to smaller venues because people just can't afford a weekend worth of $300 tickets. You're going to expect them to pay, you know, $1,200 to watch four or five shows and then buy merch and buy stuff at the arena. And, you know, if they don't live in the area, they'd have to buy a hotel or buy a rental car, or maybe even fly down to Tampa. You're expecting too much out of the fans in an economy that is not feasible. And so their plan to make money and to chase the all-loving dollar bill is hurting the fans that really want to go to these shows. You're hurting the people that are living paycheck to paycheck and can only afford the, you know, $30 ticket, $40 ticket, $50 ticket. And now those tickets are now $200. That's crazy. That is absolutely astronomically insane that they're trying to charge $200 for a non-pay-per-view event. I can understand it if it's a pay-per-view because it's a once-in-a-lifetime show. But for a regular TV taping, a live TV audience, you're going to charge $200 for like middle of the road seats. This is why they had to cancel, because they weren't selling tickets. But I just bring it back to February when AEW hosted Collision in Australia for Grand Slam. And everyone was... AEW thought they could sell 65,000 seats and they had to move to a smaller arena and they had to cancel and they had to give refunds and they couldn't sell tickets. Well, WWE is doing the same. They overpriced their market. I complained when AEW was charging $500 for tickets for Adelaide Arena or wherever it was supposed to be originally. I complained about that. Go back to that time period. Because I was thinking, like, I could probably take vacation. Be cool to go to Australia. Check the ticket price. It'd be cool to go to Australia, but not for that price. I talked about it. Go back to the beginning of the year on the shows, and I talked about it. You wrestling fans are not going to overspend to watch a product that they can watch for free at home. They're just not going to. Or for $9 a month on Max, or $7 a month on Peacock, or they can watch on the CW for literally free cable. You just got to buy the antenna and you can get CW. Or you can download the CW app. You can download the TNT app. Like, the wrestling business as a whole has to understand fans are not going to overspend on tickets for a product that they can watch at home for little to no cost. You have to give them an incentive to go to the show, and high ticket prices is not an incentive. And so it's going both ways, but I like to see these NXT fans are super quiet about this, because they were the ones super loud when Brisbane, Australia, you know, we had to change arenas for Grand Slam. They were really loud about that. They're really quiet. They're really quiet about NXT. This is that tribalism that I think is wild. Call it out on both sides. But there's two reasons for this. An oversaturated of content for the weekend. You have three shows, four shows within a 3 or 4 or 5 day span. That's a lot of wrestling in an area. It's a lot of wrestling in an area. You've oversaturated that market with high ticket prices, and they've seen why they've had to cancel NXT's event. But yeah, we have a lot of wrestling this weekend, guys. Like I'm talking about, we have Saturday night's main event tonight. I think we have Battleground tomorrow night, Double or Nothing tomorrow night. So let me know in the comments what you're planning on watching this weekend, if any. Like I said, top right corner, the 4 things I need you to do: like, comment, share, and subscribe. Hit that notification bell. If you're listening to this on the audio platform, Spotify or Apple Podcasts or any of the other audio platforms that you're listening to this on, subscribe, leave a comment, leave a 5-star review. That'll help push them and their algorithms as well. I got to thank the affiliate partners again. That's W Energy. If you go to W.GG and use code Beyond the Yard at checkout, you can get 10% off your order. That's W.GG. Use code Beyond the Yard for 10% off your order. Check out WWE Shop, the link in the description box below, and you can snag that WWE merch. And we got to thank our friends at StubHub. Again, the link in the description. All your sporting and entertainment needs, you can go to StubHub. Use the link in the description and help support the podcast that way. Guys, we'll be back next Thursday bringing you more content on the live stream. I'll be back next Saturday for another solo episode. Join the Discord. Leave more comments so that we can have a lengthy discussion for the community segment. And I'll be back next week with some more wrestling talking points for the weekend show as well. Like, comment, subscribe, share, do all of that for me. I'm Junkyard James. This is another episode of the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. I'm going solo today, so I'll say the final words. It's a big weekend. Get you some of that sauce. And stay saucy all weekend long. Have a good Memorial Day weekend. We'll see you next Thursday on the live stream. Have a good one. Beyond the